Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Pilot Network Podcast. I'm your host, Adam. I just wanted to wish all of you a very happy holiday season. As it is that time of year, I'm sure people are still busy last-minute Christmas shopping, commuting, all that good stuff. We know here at TPN that it can be hectic, especially for airline pilots. So take a breath, step back, think about all the wonderful things that this year brought you. If there's some not so good things, look at 2024. Hopefully it'll be a lot better for you and yours. Anyways, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, enjoy. Today I'm get the honor of presenting Courtney Compton, Women in Aviation Chapter President from down in Florida. She took some time out to share her experiences with women in aviation and what that organization can do for you out there, whether you're a woman in aviation or not. They have a lot of opportunities and scholarships, volunteer opportunism to go out and meet new people and network within this industry, which is something that you know we promote big time here at the Pilot Network. Courtney joined us at TPNX last year down in Orlando, and we hope to further that relationship by having Women in Aviation join us again at TPNX in April. So sit back, relax, enjoy this episode with Courtney, and again, have a great holiday season. On to the show. Hi, Courtney. It's so nice to finally see you again face to face. The last time was TPNX. So this is a pleasant reunion, as it were. How you been?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting to get you on the podcast and get the face of Women in Aviation International a little bit outside of their normal avenues and infrastructure and get them over to TPN. We've been trying to do some of that with some of our friends from the LPA, Latino Pilot Association, OBAP, and then Women in Aviation as well as PAPA. So it's kind of fun to have the different groups on and chat with folks who I've gotten to meet or know a little bit over time. And it's see what we as the network, who are primarily a bunch of military bozos, can do. I mean, there's a bunch of us from other places, but it's fun to go out there and see what else is going on in aviation too, because I think we miss a lot of that. Before, Courtney and I were just talking about how I'm a professional aviator who's not really a general aviation enthusiast. So when it comes to just that, I realize that I have blind spots in the industry, and I love getting to, whether it's in the industry of aviation or otherwise, kind of peel back those layers of what my blind spots are and kind of rectify that situation. So enough about silly old me. People hear me all the time. So Courtney, let's start. Aviation, how, why, and where are you now? All that kind of stuff.
Well, I do want to say first, thank you so much for thinking of Women in Aviation International, and particularly the Central Florida chapter. We're really excited to be a part of this and to share a little bit about, you know, the impact that women in aviation makes on the industry. So thanks so much, first of all, for having us on.
Oh, yeah. Pleasure.
And second, aviation. I can't remember a time when aviation and aerospace wasn't an interest of mine and wasn't a passion of mine. My dad was really big into aviation. He always wanted to get his PPL, but for, you know, various reasons, of course, in life, it doesn't happen. But he was always an aviation enthusiast. And so we would go to air shows and things like that. And from a little girl, I was always just, you know, impressed and enthralled by planes and flight and just the whole, you know, the whole industry. So as far back as I can remember, you know, I was always the kid that as soon as a plane flew over, I always looked up, and I still do today. I don't, you know, it's just always, it never gets old for me. So, so I think starting back very young as a girl, being interested in aviation and, you know, growing up and then actually when I was about to graduate high school and try to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I thought about aviation. And in fact, that's actually when I took my first Discovery flight out of here in DeLand, Florida. And I just fell in love with it. And I thought, okay, this is what I want to do. So I looked at different opportunities for that, you know, flight school, even considered the Air Force, you know, looked at different avenues for that. But what was really shocking to me was I didn't see anybody that looked like me. I didn't see any women. I didn't have a network. I didn't know who to ask. Nobody in my family was a pilot or had any experience. And so at that time, I felt really intimidated and kind of lost, you know, and I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to turn to help me with that journey. So I actually ended up going to college and getting my bachelor's in psychology and women's studies. And then I went on to a master's degree in social work. So at that point, aviation was not really a part of my life. And it wasn't until I had, you know, been working professionally for about 10 years that aviation was always in the back of my mind. It was always in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I got burnt out with my job and I was like, okay, well, what honestly would actually make me happy? And trying to get my PPL is the first thing that came to mind. So that's how I got reintroduced into aviation.
Okay. Everybody, so it's funny you mentioned that. And this is so take a little sidebar here. For those of you who, I know there's a lot of people who listen to the podcast who are still in their transitional phase of whether they're leaving the military or whether they're trying to get their next job or whatever. And they do interview prep and all this stuff. And I wanted to point out something that Courtney talked about here is a lot of folks think that they have this just such unique journey and that I'm the only one who's ever been there. But you mentioned something where you looked around and you saw nobody that you could go to for mentorship, networking advice, whatever the case is. Nobody in your family. You didn't really see many women in aviation, which is still pretty much the case. And you got intimidated. Well, you realized after you progressed that there are lots of people who went through almost the exact same thing you did. And that your journey, although unique and personalized to you, is not a unique journey that you went on. That's what the beauty part about the Pilot Network and all these organizations are, is a lot of people have been through something similar, maybe not the exact same thing, but something similar. So what I'm getting after is a lot of people who are trying to tailor their interview stories or whatever, think about themselves in this way is, if you want to think of yourself as special and unique, that's awesome. Go do it. I want you to look in the mirror and feel confident in that. But what I also want you to know is that your story has happened before. It's paralleled many, many, many times in aviation. There are a few one-off stories that are so different than everybody else's, but Courtney and I have similar stories as other people do in aviation. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they take you on a completely different path you never thought you'd be on. How did this affect your path? Because you are not a professional pilot. So how did this grow into what you do and what you are now?
No, that's a really great question. So as I mentioned, you know, I actually quit my job and I was doing fundraising for a big university out in California. And my husband and I wanted to, I'm from Florida and he's from Northern New York. So our families were on the East Coast and we decided we wanted to come back to be closer to family. And then also, you know, Florida is, as you know, has a huge aviation industry and aerospace industry. So I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to do it, this is the place to do it, right? So I actually quit my job and my husband was incredibly supportive of that. So I definitely want to give a shout out to supportive partners and spouses and family out there. It's absolutely vital to supporting, I mean, someone taking on any endeavor, but especially flight training. But so I quit my job and I started flight school and I actually got through my two first solos. And then, so I got about halfway through my PPL and realized that it, for a couple of different reasons, wasn't a good fit for me. And that was actually a tough decision because I had really dreamed about this, honestly, my whole life, you know, but I'm also the type of person that, you know, I can only talk to so many people. I can only do so much research online before I actually have to go and sit and I have to go into the classroom and I had to go through flight training. I had to get in the plane. You know, I had to be behind the controls to see if it was really for me. And, you know, I'm really proud of myself for doing that. It was definitely as you know, incredibly challenging, but incredibly rewarding. And I met so many people, and you know, who are interested in aviation, whether they're pilots or not. And actually, I think that's one of the ways that my path kind of ended up to where I am today. Is part of my flight training, you know, I needed a network, I needed support. And so I turned to Women in Aviation and our Central Florida chapter based out of Orlando. And, you know, going there and meeting women in the industry who, you know, were just starting off, or they were professional pilots, or, you know, all the other roles within aviation that are out there, you know, really gave me that community and the support and the network to start with my flight training, but also to transition out of my flight training when I realized it wasn't for me. So in fact, one of my best friends who I met through the chapter, she's a professional pilot, but she also works in aerospace. And so I was saying, okay, well, I have a background in project management and program management from my fundraising and, you know, those days, but I also have a little bit of aviation background too. And I would love to find an opportunity to combine those two. Yeah. And she said, okay, well, why don't you look in, and if you're really interested in aviation and aerospace, there's tons of project managers, there's tons of program management roles out there. Everybody needs somebody to run a project for them, right? So that's how I was able to make the transition, was to take my past experience, combine it with my aviation, a little bit of aviation experience that I had, and you know, my own personal interest and passion for the aviation and aerospace industries, and land a job working at as a project manager for a company called Integrated Launch Solutions in the aerospace industry.
So I want, again, folks out there, listen to something that's so unique to what pilots bring. Okay. So before I said your, everybody's story has paralleled other stories and there's histories that are similar and all that, but the one thing that we aviation types have that I think a lot of people don't, people who fly airplanes, especially for a living, we downplay what we do. It's a very normal thing. And I don't know why that is. I did it myself for years. I did it when I was in the Air Force. I do it now a lot of times. And I try to remind myself that I have a unique skill set. Now, mind you, I don't use that skill set every day like some other people do. You know, a doctor who sees patients all day, a lawyer who is able to write a brief really well and go into the courtroom. I mean, there's a host of a myriad of other high-level professions that, and professions that have been trained very specifically for a long time that are similar in, if not style, in at least form, I guess you could say, or flip that if you want to, however you want to look at it. But we as aviation professionals, specifically when we get to our level, we think we're so pigeonholed that there is nothing else out there for us. That is, nothing could be further from the truth. We have so many different experiences, not only in leadership and team management, operational risk management, stuff like that, but also just the function of being able to organize and task prioritize better than a lot of other people have ever been trained to do. A lot of people have never been trained to do that. We are specifically trained to do this kind of a thing. So for those of you out there who are ending your aviation journey professionally, whether it's through retirement or means that are not within your control, you have a ton of options if you only refocus and recategorize exactly what you've done through your career. Please think about that when you're going through this, because Courtney essentially did that, although with a few less hours than a lot of us. My guess it was somewhere around in the like 20, high 20s, 30s, maybe a little less than that. Am I right?
I think, well,
if you remember,
I wouldn't say that I'm a slow learner. I think I would say I'm a vigilant and diligent learner. So I think it took me a little bit longer. I think I probably ended up around 60s.
60 okay. Hours, well, so. I'll tell you, well, that's more. So I am a slow learner. I'll say that. I am not a diligent or vigilant learner. I am a dynamic learner. I have to get a bunch of different inputs, a bunch of different ways. And then I normally have to physically do it for it to kind of click.
Same here.
Yeah. So when I almost washed out of pilot training, that was the reason why. And then when it clicked, I went from bottom of the barrel to top of the heap and then back again and back and forth. That's kind of the way I operate. There might be some procrastination, laziness in there. I never really learned to study all that well. I was always a bad studier through high school, and college was like, I've learned the work smarter, not harder, technique. So I was like, and then I also learned the, you can work hard or you can work the system hard. And then the working hard thing is not, you don't have to do that anymore. So
I think that still falls under work smart, not hard.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, totally. Or so at least I tell myself all the time. My dad
right.
was too impressed until nowadays. We talk about it all the time. He goes, yeah, you figured it out. So I think when somebody like you moves on from something like a dream, and a dream falls away a little bit, but a dream that you realize wasn't for you any longer, like that, there's a host of reasons. This isn't what I want to do. Or it is what I want to do, but I don't think I can do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to move on to the next thing. How does one go from, okay, I'm fundraising, for a major university to now I'm working for, and just judging by the name of Integrated Launch Solutions can think, wow, that's a aerospace firm that has something to do with putting stuff up in the, above where a, flight, the flight levels and our little airplanes here on terrestrial Earth fly. Like, you're going up into space. How does one move from that area of I'm going to get my private pilot's license, maybe be a professional pilot too? Let's go work on rocket ships.
Right. Yeah. When you say it out loud, it seems like a uncanny partnership. But so I would say two things. The first one was, as I mentioned before, and as you mentioned, Adam, you know, there are just some foundational skills that, you know, pilots, industry professionals, you know, you just have when it comes to managing projects, you know, team management, you know, tasks and priorities and things like that. And that those skills and a lot of the other skills that pilots learn are transferable across any industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether you want to work in food or you want to work in the movies or like whatever you want to, you know, name the industry, there's still those transferable skills that pilots and professionals develop along their career. So I would say, you know, thinking about that and saying, okay, well, what have I done and what do I have to offer to whatever industry? But for me, I was really interested in aerospace.
Okay.
So I thought about that. And then the second thing was, the network was, you know, and I honestly hate saying this because like networking gets shoved down our throats all the time. Network, you know, like if you're not out there, like, you know, networking constantly, then you're a failure.
This is the Pilot Network podcast.
Right.
Pretty much jammed right down everybody's throat or ears who's listening to this.
That's true. It's true. So not to put a negative spin on networking. I think I'm an introvert by nature. Mm-hmm. So networking can be a little intimidating for me.
Sure.
But I think, but networking with a purpose, networking with a focus really, really helps. And so I reached out actually to my Central Florida chapter, Women in Aviation International, and to my good friends. And I said, hey, I'm looking for a job in aviation and aerospace. I have my background in, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I was able to, through my network, actually through one of my good friends who's a professional pilot, she, as I mentioned, worked in aerospace. And she said, hey, I know someone who's looking for a job or who is looking for a project manager. Let me make the connection. And I was fortunate enough that the owner of Integrated Launch Solutions, she's also a woman. She's an engineer by background. She has over 20 or 30 years in the industry, in the space industry. And she saw the potential. I met with her. I chatted with her. And I said, okay, my background, I have a little bit of aviation background, but I don't have a tremendous amount of space background. But, you know, my skills are transferable. And she was open to the idea to give it a shot, give me a shot, you know. And so I think it was, you know, those two things, really focusing on, you know, what I could offer, what skills were transferable, and then you know, reaching out to the right people who are willing to give me a chance and to allow me to grow in the aerospace industry.
Yeah, I like the networking with a purpose line. That is that's a tremendous thing to hear. In fact, I might tag that on a bunch of stuff. That will be
go for it.
Hashtag on this podcast. We'll start a trend. So, women in aviation. You mentioned networking with purpose, obviously, and then your friend hooking you up, kind of with this kind of ideal situation that popped up, which is what happens when you meet the right people, right place, right time. So, how then do you go from that to involvement in the Central Florida chapter? Aside from, it sounded like you were involved prior, but more of like a consumer of the information that Women in Aviation was handing out, which is just fine. I mean, that's what you do as Women in Aviation, to now being more involved as a provider of that information for ladies out there and for everybody, really.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, as you mentioned, when I was first starting flight training, you know, I wanted to establish that network and to get some resources to help support my training. So I really was a consumer of the information, and Women in Aviation was one of the organizations that popped up when I was a woman interested in aviation. So I first joined the chapter, the Central Florida chapter, as a consumer of information to build that network. And the more I spent time with the organization as a whole, international as a whole, but then particularly with the Central Florida chapter, the more I fell in love with the women that were there, the women and men that were there, and the mission of the whole organization. And it really spoke to me, and it became something that I was really passionate about, to, you know, diversify the aviation industry, you know, whether it's, you know, gender, you know, sex, religion, you know, whatever you name it. I think an industry, aviation definitely needs to diversify. Any industry really needs to diversify in order to survive and to thrive. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that was a mission, you know, that really spoke to me and I became passionate about. So I joined first as a vice president, and then as recently taking on the president role. And it's been something that I've just really enjoyed, being able to offer a safe space for women and men interested, anyone really interested, girls as well, interested in the aviation industry and aerospace. And, you know, whether they're trying to pursue that professionally or whether they're interested in it just personally as an enthusiast. Or if they just want to, they don't really know, but they think, hey, it could be a good fit for me. You know, they can come and they can learn and, you know, have a community, have a safe space, you know, get a bunch of resources and a lot of support in their own journey. So it's, you know, I first, like you said, started off as a consumer, but now I like to be a provider.
That, thank you for doing that, because I think that's important that, I mean, we've said TPN is pay it forward. Same exact thing. It's exactly what you did. And one of the things that I wanted to highlight there was, when you get into your aviation journey, whatever that may look like, whether it's militarily, going on the civilian side, if you're going to be a professional aviator, specifically more for the professional than the general enthusiast type or the general aviation enthusiast, the general aviation enthusiast is going to go through an ups and downs. However, those ups and downs are the kind of your own picking and choosing. You know, like if you're going to go and get your PPL, and it may be challenging at times, you may run into a few obstacles, but the idea is that you're having fun while you're doing that. The whole idea of it is fun while you're doing it. When you become a professional, the idea is, now I have to earn a living while I'm doing this. So the fun, albeit can still be there, tends to be blunted sometimes, because you're more worried about, and you're being evaluated, especially in the military, you're being evaluated every time you step out onto the flight line. So I think it's nice to have a spot that you can go where you can chat, where you can feel like there is no evaluation here. There is no pressure. It's a squadron feel without any of the, for those military out there, without the rest of the squadron antics going on. And because I was a learner by distress. I needed an instructor to beat it into my head and yell at me and make me feel the pain of almost losing what I was working towards. And for those of you out there who think that that may not be your learning style, you don't know until you're put in that position. And I've seen plenty of students, I've had students before, who that is the way they learned. Like you had to be the heavy. And I've had other students that weren't, and I didn't have to be the heavy with them. And they learned just fine the other way. So it is nice to have a network of support agency out there, aside from your family, who, like Courtney had, mine too. They had no idea. Like, they don't know what aviation is. They still, to this day, my wife barely knows what airplanes I fly or have flown. She's always, okay, you're on what again? All right. I got it. And I'm like, you're going to forget in 6 months or 6 days. And that's fine. I don't care. That's fine. That's good. But it's nice to have that kind of organization out there to help all of us. Now, when you provide information, like I'm interested as a father of two little girls, how does the Central Florida chapter go out there and do outreach specifically to the younger generation? I mean, my girls are pretty young, so we're talking too young. Airplanes, cool, neat. That's about it. Like, there's not a lot of else going on there. But how do you reach out to that middle school, young high school, young lady who's like, wow, airplanes, I wonder what I can do. How do you do that?
No, that's a really great question. And I think that's something that, you know, our chapter and international organization is always thinking about, is how do we reach the current generation and future generations? And because honestly, that's the only way we're going to change the industry, right? That's how we're going to raise those percentages. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that we do as international in a chapter is something called Girls in Aviation Day. And it's once a year. It's a big event that the international hosts, as well as the local chapters, can do their own spin on a Girls in Aviation Day event. And so, for instance, our chapter just recently hosted ours at the end of September. It's usually in September every year. So our chapter held a day at Kennedy Space Center.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, we were very, very fortunate to be able to partner with Space Florida as our host. And also we were able to offer for 50 girls in grades 9 through 12 from the Central Florida area a free day for them to come and learn about aviation and aerospace. So, you know, our format, which may be different for different chapters, depending on what, you know, what they're doing for their event. But our format started off with a static display of aircraft and spacecraft that they could. We tried to bring in all female flight crew crew to support whatever the static display was, so they could actually chat with them. They could get in the plane. They could crawl through the space module. You know, they could touch, they could feel, they could ask questions. So we're also thinking about how girls learn, you know, how people learn. So, you know, being able, maybe they're a little intimidated to chat, but they're more than excited to go actually sit in the seat. Right.
Yep.
And then, we also really focus on a lot of, STEAM activities. So people may have heard STEM. So science, technology, engineering, and math, but we're sticking an A in there now, for arts, because, you know, arts is also a big component of, you know, any industry, but for aviation as well. If you think about marketing, you know, you think about training, things like that, we need artists in the industry as well. So in the afternoon, we did a bunch of hands-on activities of, you know, whether it was aviation medicine or Florida Highway Patrol or, oh gosh, you name it. We had Chicks Fix from United Airlines come in and do aviation maintenance projects. So the girls were getting their hands dirty, you know, and they were doing a bunch of stuff. And, you know, then we ended up the day with a private bus tour of Kennedy Space Center. So they actually got to see the historic sites and see Kennedy Space Center is an active spaceport. So, you know, there's rockets being moved around and being launched and all of that. So really, we were thinking about, okay, first of all, what would be really cool if I was, you know, if I was in high school, you know, if I was a girl in high school and I'm going to spend a Saturday doing something, what do I want to do? I want to do something fun, right? And then the second thing is how do we make that message of aviation and aerospace and, you know, the myriad of career possibilities in both industries, how do we make that accessible, right? And so... So Girls in Aviation Day is really the huge event that we really try to really make an impact on girls in our local communities and throughout the world. The second thing, though, is, you know, Girls in Aviation Day is just one day a year. But International actually takes a lot of pride in one of their recent developments called Girls in Aviation App. So it's actually an app that girls can download for free onto their phone. And, you know, depending on what grades they're in, you know, what their age is, they can learn more about aviation through activities in the app. So, you know, and they're constantly changing all of the different content and things in that. So trying to think about, you know, if you're a girl or a kid, you know, today, like, how do they consume, you know, how do they consume information? And so, you know, having something on your phone, having an event that you can go to get your hands dirty, to get involved, you know, these are really the primary methods that we're trying to reach out to the girls in our communities.
That's fantastic. I love that kind of stuff. Makes me excited to watch my girls get into the journeys that they're going to go through, whatever they want to get into. But just to have that kind of ability to get exposed to it is, it's exciting, because maybe it doesn't lead them down that path, but man, it opens up their aperture to see that there's a lot of stuff out there that they can mess with and do and become a more well-rounded citizen of the society that they belong to. And the other thing I love about is the arts piece. I love when I hear arts. My wife is an artist. Musically, I dabble in that kind of stuff. We're big fans of the arts, as I think most people are, just in general. And one of the things that I remember seeing on PBS was an episode about I think it was PBS. It was all about math. Actually, take it back. I think it was Netflix. It's all about math. But it specifically said how music, if reading music is essentially reading the base language of math. Everything is math and music. And my wife always says, I'm not very good at math. However, she can pick up a sheet of music, read it, and almost instantaneously play whatever it is she's reading. And I go, you are good at math. You're just not good at math in a way that translates to the equation on the paper. You probably would be fine at that if you broke through that initial inertia. So everything in my mind, all of this stuff ties together. There is no, unless you're like me who majored in political science, which is a complete throwaway degree.
Psychology and women's studies.
So. Okay. Psychology though, I still take that over this. In fact, when I was in college, I said, hey, I want to fly. You know, I was an ROTC. I was like, fly, do you have to be an engineer? You know, I was like, I don't really want to, I don't know if I can do engineering. Like, dude, didn't you ever hear poli sci to fly? I'm like, okay, sign me up.
Right.
And it's funny now that I do this behind the microphone stuff and I've done a little bit of voice acting, which AI is trying to steal from all of us. I should have majored in theater arts. I would have used my theater arts degree more than I've ever used my poli sci degree or remember anything from. I remember maybe one class that was cool. I did do a class on the JFK assassination, which was really neat. Taught me about research, and it was really cool. But again, that's about it. That's all I got. 4.5 years of poli sci. That's it. And you know, here we are, still flying airplanes. Wouldn't have been any different with anything else. So I don't live in Central Florida. I imagine your chapter is one of the biggest in the U.S. I only say that because Florida, like you said, big aviation culture, a lot of pilots. I can only imagine maybe Texas, California are, and Arizona probably are the other three states where it's has some huge chapters. If I'm interested in getting involved, signing up like my little girls to go experience some of this kind of cool outreach that women in aviation do, or just paying it forward, like a lot of folks out there who are maybe looking to give back a little bit or put that volunteer stuff on their resume to help make it look a little prettier. What can we tell the folks out there they should go do?
Yeah, no, great question. So I think the first thing and the most, you know, easily accessible is to get online and go check out Women in Aviation International's website. So it's really easy, WAI.org.
Okay.
And you can go there and check out all of the incredible resources that they have to offer. They have a jobs board that you can get access to. They have mentorship programs that you can have access to. One of the major draws for, I think, students out there are scholarships, and it's not just for flight training. They do scholarships for all sorts of professions and interests within aviation. And I think they're even trying to expand a little bit more into aerospace as well as the industry continues to grow. So I would first recommend getting onto the website and just really, you know, playing around on there, exploring. There's a lot of really great content on there. They even have a section that's primarily just to educate students, you know, if they're interested in what is aviation, what's it all about. They have a lot of really great articles and resources there. And if that speaks to you, then one of the things is, in order to access a lot of these resources, is you do need to be a member of International. But it's also really accessible to do so. If you're 18 years old or younger, it's a free membership. So they want to encourage younger individuals to join and to get involved and really start their journey early, right? We were talking about reaching girls earlier and earlier in their journey. So a membership under 18 years old or younger is free. And then above that, individual memberships, I think, gosh, the last time I looked, it was $49 a year. So it's really accessible. And I also know that, let's say if you're struggling a little bit financially, you can always reach out to them. And I think that they have support in that area too. They don't want anyone to struggle to not have access to membership just because of financial hardship. So with that being said, you know, once you're a member, you can take advantage of a lot of the great resources. Oh, I wanted to also plug the conference that's coming up here in Orlando at the end of March. So that's March 21st through the 23rd.
Yep.
They tend to rotate. So last year it was out in Long Beach, California. The year before it was in Nashville. So we're really fortunate to have it in our home base this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're really, really excited. I think it's going to be fantastic. A lot of really great speakers and panels and classes and resources and, gosh, just that socialization and that networking that we were talking about earlier. So, you know, if you get on the website and you're like, this looks great and I want to check out the conference, you know, either personally or professionally, I think it's totally worth it. And then if you want to do something that's a little bit closer to home, you can always search for what a local chapter. So they have a site on the website where you can put in your zip code and it'll pull up the closest chapters to you. And you can always reach out to those chapters to attend one of their meetings, get involved in some of the events and activities going on there, and, you know, really access a more grassroots in your community organization to get more women into aviation and girls into aviation. So I would say those two things, you know, check out International and then check out your local chapter.
That's that the way it normally works, right? Like if I get that people sometimes, especially when you're young and you're full of a lot of vivaciousness to go conquer all. Ooh,
good word.
Thank you. You want to start at the top. The reality is sometimes it's better just to go in at the very lowest level and see, and then work your way through it. Just like Courtney did. I checked out my local chapter, was a consumer of the information and the networking capability they gave me. And now look, president of the chapter, Central Florida, integrated launch solution project manager who working in aerospace on stuff that is way above my pay grade. I just make the houses get bigger and smaller. And I think there's something that we started doing a while ago, but we changed it up a little bit. And I think that you bring something that's different than some of the other guests who fly airplanes for a living are young. We've had some fairly young folks on recently, very young, who through not a lot of experience, but a lot of drive and goal setting and all that kind of stuff, have their one thing that they want people to remember. We call it the bold face item. I love when we have and we haven't had anybody like this for a long time who is, you know, who's been through the ringer in aviation and is coming out the other side of it on the very end of their journey. they always have the best piece of advice to say, but you are one of our more unique cases. So I'm really looking forward to this cheese ball feature we call the bold face. Some people call it memory items, but I'm an Air Force guy, so we call it bold face. And it's the one thing that anybody who listens to this podcast should take away from Courtney Compton today about whatever it is she wants us to take away from our discussion. It's all yours.
I think I would say then, if there's one thing to take away, is that every experience, every piece of education that you have is valuable to your future goals. You just have to find the right way to spin it and to tell your story.
I like it. All right. I think as a checklist step, we'd write that out as education, experience, little dash mark, value added, comma, perception is reality. How does that sound?
That's perfect.
See, look at that. Teammates right here. This is
what I love it
about. Networking and mentorship, all that good stuff will jam a little bit more down your throat. Courtney, what's the best way they can get a hold of you or check out the Central Florida chapter specifically? Because, well, we used to come down to Orlando to do TPNX. We're not doing it in Orlando this year, which is a bummer. And we were always on the heels of Women in Aviation about a month after. So unfortunately, we can't be in the same place at the same time this year. But how can they get a hold of you? Maybe help out with not only what you're doing, the great stuff down there in mid-Florida, but overall.
No, thank you for that. Yeah, the best way to reach me or our Central Florida chapter would be to visit our website. So WAI-CFL.org. So Women in Aviation-CentralFlorida.org. And you can reach out directly to us and we'll be happy to support whatever part of the aviation journey that you're on. So just let us know how we can help.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Courtney, for joining us on the Pilot Network podcast. For all of those out there who need to get a hold of Matt or I for any reason whatsoever, you have a question, comment, concern, complaint, critique, or other, you can hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I read every email that I get, and I make sure I try to respond in time. As always, keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody.
Yes, yes, yes.